Welcome, my friends, to the program. Glad you're with us. It's the Worldview Weekend Hour. I'm Brandon House. We'll go to the auditorium of a recent Worldview Weekend for this week's keynote presentation. But first, this week's commentary, a biblical response to the issue of amnesty, a biblical response to illegal immigration in just 1 minute. By the way, if you enjoy these commentaries, if you want to hear them again, we often put them up on our website, worldviewweekend.com. For you to hear again and again, just click the link at worldviewweekend.com, click the link WorldviewTube. That's where we store all these audios that you can, all these videos that you can watch. Now, if you say, I'd really like to have this in a format to share with friends or family in a Bible study setting or Sunday school class, then we have put them on to, so far, three DVDs. DVD number four is getting ready to come out. Intelligence Briefing number one, Intelligence Briefing number two, Intelligence Briefing number three. Number four will be out in just a couple of weeks. And it's all of these commentaries from our television broadcasts from last year and this year onto DVDs. Most of the DVDs contain 4 to 5 commentaries on all kinds of issues like 25 Lessons America Should Have Learned from Nazi Germany, Part 1 and Part 2, Evolution Applied to the Law. On another one we have, Is God Judging America? Global Governance, The Bible Predicted It, The News is Reporting It. How have the communists been successful in implementing their worldview in America? 10 biblical hallmarks that reveal a true convert or follower of Jesus Christ versus an imposter. Why the rise of pagan spirituality in the church, the culture, and military, and how should we respond, and a lot more. You'll find all these inside our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com. You know, we had our Branson Worldview Weekend a few months ago, April of 2010, and we had with us Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who's written a fabulous book called When a Nation Forgets God, 7 Lessons America Should Learn from Nazi Germany. Well, we filmed it and produced it into a broadcast quality DVD, and you can get that at inside our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com. When a Nation Forgets God, 7 Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany by Dr. Erwin Lutzer, senior pastor of the historic church, Moody Church in downtown Chicago. This book has been a bestseller, and we know the DVD will also do very well. It's 2 presentations. The other one is Jesus versus Mohammed. Jesus versus Mohammed. You'll also, part of our Branson 2010 DVD series, we filmed Dr. Ron Carlson speaking on Freemasonry, Masonic Lodge, and the Shriners. Are they compatible with biblical Christianity? You know what? Down here in the South where I live in Tennessee, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting, not that you'd want to swing a dead cat, right? But you can't without hitting a mason. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a mason down here. And a lot of them, by the way, are deacons in Southern Baptist churches and pastors and associate pastors. You'll hear incredible testimonies by Ron Carlson, how he has spoken in Southern Baptist churches, and deacons have repented, even pastors. And guess what has happened? Their churches have exploded in ministry and doubled and quadrupled in size. Powerful ministries. In fact, when he gave this presentation in Branson, 3 men came up to him afterwards that I personally saw, and a couple of them were in tears. They were repentant. And they said, we didn't realize how unbiblical this really was. One father said, I've got to go home and get my sons out. I installed them in Freemasonry last week. They've been set free. Biblical truth. Tons of scripture showing you what why Freemason is not biblical. And to those who say, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm a Mason. That's not what Freemasonry is all about. You know what? They're not speaking the truth. Because guess what is his source? His source is the actual documents coming from Freemasonry. The actual documents coming from Freemasonry are the sources that he is citing. So Freemasonry, Masonic Lodge, and the Shriners. And then, of course, my presentation, Grave Influence Part 2 and Part 3. That's based on my book, Grave Influence. Grave Influence Part 2 and Part 3 we filmed. Some of you already have Grave Influence Part 1, but in Branson we filmed Grave Influence Part 2 and Part 3. And all of these resources are available inside our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com. Also, don't forget, you can get our free magazine, our free 48-page full-color magazine at worldviewweekend.com. You can order one or you can order quantities. Now, what is a biblical response to illegal immigration. That is a hot issue right now, isn't it? You hear a lot of talk about it. But are we thinking about it through the lens of the Bible? Does the Bible speak about immigration and immigration laws? Are there things that we can, principles we can draw from the scriptures to discuss this issue? I believe there are, and I want to do that today. However, many evangelicals are pushing the idea that we need to give amnesty to the illegals. Now, they don't want to call it amnesty, but in effect, that's what it is. But they don't want to call it that because they realize that's not popular with a lot of conservatives in America. So they don't want to call it amnesty, but that's what it is. In fact, here is an article in the New York Times, July 18th, 2010. Obama gains evangelical allies on immigration. Obama gains evangelical allies on immigration. Here's what the New York Times says. At a time when the prospects for immigration and overhaul seem most dim, supporters have unleashed a secret weapon, a group of influential evangelical leaders. Okay, so they're unleashing the evangelicals as a secret weapon to bring about amnesty. One of them is a friend of mine, someone I've known and interviewed and respected for a long time, and has done a lot of great work in the area of religious liberty, defending religious liberty. But we have to graciously, that's the key word there, we have to graciously disagree with him on this one, and that is Matthew D. Staver, founder and chairman of the Liberty Council, a conservative religious law firm, writes the New York Times. They go on to mention Bill Hybels of Willow Creek. Of course, Bill Hybels, in my opinion, is quite liberal anyway. His wife is now writing for the magazine Sojourners, Jim Wallace, the neo-Marxist. And Bill Hybels has brought in people like Tony Blair, who's a globalist, and Rob Bell and others to his church and conferences. So I'm not shocked about Bill Hybels pushing this. Another one, though, is the Reverend Richard D. Land, president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Council, Southern Baptist Convention's public policy arm. Now, Richard is someone who's defended traditional marriage, defended the life of the unborn. Richard's done some good work over the years, but I'm very disappointed that he is pushing this as well. These guys are testifying before Congress. Again, they would say they're not pushing amnesty, but if you look at it, that's exactly what they are pushing. And I'm not the only one saying this. Other experts, including congressmen like Stephen King of Iowa, Lamar Smith of Texas, would also say that these guys are pushing amnesty. Now, part of what you have here is things being said like this by Richard Land. Richard Land said, quote, "I've had some older conservative leaders say, Richard, stop this. You're going to split the conservative coalition. I say it might split the old conservative coalition, but it won't split the new one," end quote. I'm not sure I want to be a part of that new conservative coalition if this is the idea, if this is where we're going. Then we have, according to the New York Times article, the supporters cite Leviticus 19. Treat the stranger as you would yourself. Leviticus 19 is cited for why we need to have amnesty for illegals. The article goes on to say, New York Times, July 18th, 2010 is the date on it, says, quote, "One of the more recent converts to overhaul is Matt Staver. He said that deporting illegal immigrants violated the biblical imperative to welcome the stranger." Really? The biblical imperative to welcome the stranger? Well, where is that verse found? They keep citing this. Many people keep citing this. That verse is found in Leviticus 19, verse 34. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34. In fact, we even have an article here on another website that's quoting Leith Anderson, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Again, not surprising that Leith Anderson and the National Association of Evangelicals would be for amnesty. The National Association of Evangelicals went liberal a long time ago. Not shocked that Bill Hybels would promote this at pastor of Willow Creek. Not shocked by that. But I am shocked by some of these other guys. You think they would know better. But here is Leith Anderson, president of the National Association of Evangelicals. You know what he says? He goes on to say, quote, "But our interest is really rooted in what the Bible teaches, how we treat people, and how we treat particularly people who are aliens or strangers in the land." So now we've gotten Matt Staver, now we have Leith Anderson. These guys keep citing Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34, being kind to strangers in the land, as the basis for saying, oh, you see, we need to give amnesty to the illegals. Now remember, they don't call it amnesty, but that's what it is. They take issue with the fact that we even say it's that what they're pushing is amnesty, but that's what they're pushing. When the end result is they don't leave the country, they don't get back in line and fill out the paperwork and come in legally like many, many immigrants have. See, we're not opposed to immigrants coming to America, Most of us come from families that have come to America as immigrants, right? What we're opposed to is illegal immigration, and we'll explain why. But when you say, oh, well, pay a fine and pay your back taxes and stay here, whatever you want to call it, that ends up being amnesty. That's not just to the legal immigrants that have spent years and thousands of dollars filling out the forms and waiting and paying the process financially to become a legal citizen. That's not right. In fact, I've even had legal immigrants email me and say, it isn't right what they're doing. And I wouldn't have done that even if I had known that was something that was going to be acceptable in the future. I would have not done it that way because that's not the right way to do things. That's not, you need to follow the laws. Romans 13 says, what is the purpose of government? Reward the righteous, punish the wicked, and to keep a stable and just society. Illegal immigration is not making our society stable. It also is really laying out that which is unjust or unjust. Why? Because you have illegals who come here who then don't pay taxes, who don't pay workers' compensation, they don't pay all the bureaucratic red tape and fill out all the forms, we all do, and then of course they go in and they bid jobs for siding houses and roofing houses and painting houses and doing work, and guess what? They can underbid the legal resident by half or more because they don't pay taxes and they don't pay workers' comp and they don't pay for all the state income tax and other things that we do, and the license and the fees. So it's unjust because what you're doing is causing the legal residents not to be able to operate their businesses because you have illegal competition. And I can tell you of many such stories where families are losing their businesses and their livelihood because of this. Is that just? No. And Romans 13 says, one of the purposes of government is to reward the righteous, punish the wicked, keep a stable and just society, make justice reign. What is just? That which is consistent with the character and nature of God. Now, what about this verse, Leviticus 19, verse 34, that Matt Staver and Leith Anderson and others keep quoting, that we need to be kind to the stranger and therefore the stranger in a foreign land, and therefore this is one reason why we need to have amnesty. So these guys keep quoting Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34. What does Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34 really mean? They say it talks about being kind to the stranger in a foreign land, and it does. But you know what? What's one of the most dangerous things you can do? Read a Bible verse without it being in context. This is what we call hermeneutics, studying the Bible in context, looking at a Bible verse in context. And so let's do that. Is Leviticus 19, verse 34 speaking of what the Bible says about illegal immigration policy? No. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34, being kind to the stranger in a foreign land, has nothing to do with immigration policy, period. Zero. Zilch. Leviticus chapter 19 is largely civic and ceremonial law for the nation of Israel. Did you hear what I just said? Civic and ceremonial law for the nation of Israel. You see, there are certain things that apply to Israel that don't apply to us. Why don't we stone people today when they're caught in adultery? Why don't we stone rebellious teenagers? Things that would have been done back in the civic and ceremonial laws of Israel, because those were the specific civic and ceremonial laws of Israel. Leviticus 19 is filled with civic and ceremonial laws for the nation of Israel. One of the things that we see that the nation of Israel was to abide by was not lording over people, not being arrogant, not being acting as though they are superior to other people who were not from Israel, strangers in the foreign land, strangers who were with them in Israel. Listen to this. This comes from Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary. Now, this is not me giving you my interpretation. This is a very well-respected commentary, and I've looked up several commentaries, and they all agreed. Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary. Here is what it says. Both the law of God and his providence had vastly dignified Israel above any other people. Yet they must not therefore think themselves authorized to trample upon all mankind, but those of their own nation. In other words, don't trample on everybody but those who are from Israel. No, don't do. That's not what it's saying you can do. It's saying don't do that. And so backing up, yet they must not therefore think themselves authorized to trample upon all mankind but those of their own nation and to insult them at their pleasure. No, they're not to do that. Thou shalt not vex a stranger, but love him as thyself and as one of thy own people. In other words, treat him as though he is from Israel. Be kind to your neighbor. Be kind to the foreigner. Love them. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. But this is not talking about immigration policy. Matthew Henry's concise commentary goes on to say, it is supposed that this stranger was not an idolater, but a worshiper of the God of Israel, though not circumcised. If such a one sojourned or traveled among them, they must not vex him, nor oppress him, nor overreach him in a bargain. In other words, don't try to get around them. Don't try to take advantage of them, because maybe they don't understand the laws and the policies or the traditions. Don't be unkind to them. Don't take advantage of them. If they want to worship with you, even if they're not circumcised, let them do that. Goes on to say, nor overreach him in a bargain, taking advantage of his ignorance of their laws and customs. They must reckon it as a great sin to cheat a stranger as to cheat an Israelite. So don't cheat the person who's not from Israel. Be kind. Treat them as one of your own in how you deal with them in fairness. They must not so much as unbraid him with his being a stranger. It goes on to say, it is therefore at our peril if we do them any wrong or put any hardships upon them. Strangers shall be welcome to God's grace, and therefore we should do what we can to invite them to it and to recommend religion to their good opinion. It argues, says Matthew Henry's concise commentary, it argues a generous disposition and a pious regard to God as a common father to be kind to strangers, for those of different countries, customs, and languages are all made of one blood. In fact, that reference, one blood, comes from, you see that again in Acts 17, verse 26, that we are of one blood. So Matthew Henry's concise commentary says that Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34, has to do with being kind to people, not taking advantage of someone because they're not from Israel, not taking advantage of them because they don't understand the laws and the customs. Or it also invites them to be hospitable in inviting them, someone who does worship God but maybe is not circumcised, to come in and worship and extend the hospitality of grace to them in worship of God. So this not only has to do with how you treat someone, but religious practices as well. No commentary that I looked up said this was a basis for immigration policy that says we should ignore 20 million illegal aliens who come into our country, break the law, and many of them are involved in crime, stealing, getting on welfare, taking advantage of our generosity, going to hospitals, getting millions of dollars in some cases in medical treatment, stealing from someone. The Bible says don't covet, don't steal. This is not Leviticus 19, verse 34, a verse that you could use for immigration policy. You see, this verse has been taken out of context. These guys, and this is not just these guys, you see this being done all the time. People crowbarring their beliefs into a Bible verse, but the Bible verse has been taken out of context. This is why we got to get back to studying the Bible in context. Now, how much is illegal immigration costing us? We hear the talk of $100 billion. Well, that was back. That's the number that was in one recent newspaper. Illegal immigration costs U.S. taxpayers $113 billion annually. A new report published by the Federation for Amnesty Immigration Reform says that the annual cost of illegal immigration at the federal, state, and local level is a staggering $113 billion. Well, that's just a recent report from July of 2010. I have a report back here from back in 2008. Illegal immigration is costing the United States $346 billion annually, as reported by the National Research Council. So depending on who you talk to, illegal immigration is costing us anywhere from $113 billion all the way up to $346 billion. Again, you want to talk about the scriptures, what does the Bible say? Don't covet, don't steal. And many of them are doing that. Doesn't mean that all illegal immigrants that are here are unethical or immoral, are looking to cheat and steal. Quite frankly, if I lived in some of these countries, I'd be wanting to come here too. And we want them to come here as long as they do it legally. America is one of the most generous nations in the world with our immigration policy. We allow more people into our country legally with visas and education visas and other work visas than any country in the world. We're extremely generous. But you must have laws. You can't just open up your borders and let people come running over your borders. That would not fulfill the purpose of government, which is what? Reward the righteous, punish the wicked. Are righteous people, just people, people who are looking to work hard and pay their taxes being hurt by illegal immigration? Yes. Many of them are losing their businesses because, again, as I said earlier, they can't compete with those who are not paying taxes, state or federal, not paying workers' compensation, not paying insurance, not paying all the fees and license that are required of us to run a business in today's America with all the bureaucracy. Sure, they can undercut you by 50%, get a job, and you have businesses going out of business. Not to mention how many hospitals have racked up millions of dollars in bills from illegal immigrants because we treat people when they show up at our emergency rooms, as we should. But at some point, after you've stabilized them and you've treated them, it's time for them to go. And in some cases, hospitals have actually had illegal immigrants with them a year or two in their hospital. Who pays the bill? And many of these hospitals, some of them are owned by the stockbrokers, the stockholders, the people who buy a stock in that private hospital or that chain of hospitals. And some of it are public hospitals, so it comes back under the taxpayer. This isn't just. This isn't talking about doing what is just or what is right. This is not just or right. There is a legal way to allow immigrants to come to America, which is how most of us came here. Now, does the Bible speak of the issue of national sovereignty, protecting your borders, establishing borders? If you're just going to let anybody come on over the border, then you don't have a border, really. It's there, but you don't defend it, and we don't. You therefore don't have national sovereignty. Does the Bible speak of the issue of national sovereignty and borders? Many times. Psalms 74, verse 16, you have set all the borders of the earth. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the borders of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Acts 17, 26, God has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds or the borders of their habitation. We see other verses like Genesis 10, verse 19, Genesis 10, verse 32, Deuteronomy 32, verse 8, deals with the ancient borders of Canaan and how they were determined. We have God determine the borders of Abraham's descendants in Genesis 15, verses 18 through 20. God established specific borders for Israel. We see that in Exodus 23, verse 31, Exodus 34, verse 24, Numbers 34, verses 1 through 15. In Joshua chapters 13 through 21, God discusses allotment of the land to Israel and the borders. So the Bible does speak of the issue of national sovereignty and borders. Now, you have to ask yourself, who else is pushing for amnesty for illegals? Anywhere between 11 to 20 million. It's probably closer to 20 million. We don't really know because we've lost track of who's here. Just from a national sovereignty standpoint, this is very dangerous. Perhaps you've seen the video on the internet of a news station down in Atlanta doing two parts on illegal immigration and our borders and how many people are spilling over our borders. And many of them are not just from Mexico. Many of them are, they believe, terrorists. This news reporter in Atlanta doing a series showed prayer rugs, Islamic prayer rugs on the border, a jacket with a patch that translated meant salvation through jihad. So this is a national security issue. We know and it's documented that some of these extreme Islamic terrorists have come over the border between Mexico and America. This is how they've gotten to our country. This is a national security issue. What is one of the first responsibilities of government? Security and protection. Now, again, you have to ask yourself, who else is in favor of this? The Communist Party USA. Yeah. The Communist Party USA is also pushing for amnesty. Let's see. You know what? Some of these conservative leaders and pastors might want to ask themselves, do I really want to be pushing the same agenda as Jim Wallis, a neo-Marxist with Sojourners, who's now Barack Obama's spiritual advisor, the National Association of Evangelicals, now a rabid leftist organization, and now the Communist Party USA. You know, if these guys are pushing for amnesty, maybe I should reconsider my position. Now, again, these conservative leaders would tell you that they're not pushing amnesty, but experts and legal experts and congressmen, members of Congress, have said, call it what you will. The end result is the same. amnesty. They need to leave. You say, oh, we can't get 20 million people out of the country. Yes, we could. If there was really a desire to do that, we could actually do it. But there isn't a desire to do that. And one reason why is because they want these folks, the left at least, part of it is because Christians have become virtually unknowledgeable in the area of Bible, biblical worldview, Bible verses, how to interpret them. And they've bought, I also have to follow the money. My friend Michael Reagan has said on my radio show, follow the money. Why are some of these guys pushing this? Follow the money. And some might do that and follow the money and see if indeed there are groups, leftist groups, even unbeknownst to some of these folks, leftist groups and leftist individuals funding some of their organizations saying, push this, do this. This is what Jesus would want. And this really falls into the whole social justice scheme. Isn't this what Jesus would want? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving to one another. Don't return evil for evil. Be kind to your neighbor. Then you use verses like, be kind to the stranger in a foreign land. All of those verses are true, but you have to take them in context. Look, just because people are not following the law and they do commit murder, we don't do away with laws on murder. We have to have laws. That is the purpose of government, part of the purpose of government, according to the scriptures. Now, here's the other issue. They're saying, some of these folks pushing this are saying, well, it's wrong to kick someone out of the country who's been here for 20 years. That's like all of a sudden sending people speeding tickets for speeding 20 years ago. It's not just to enforce laws after folks have been here for 20 years. Well, first of all, the fact that laws have not been enforced is not my fault. It's the fault of the bureaucrats. Many of the American people for those 20 years have wanted these laws enforced. They've wanted our national security dealt with and the issue of national sovereignty dealt with. But the issue, too, again, is folks who've lived here illegally for 20 years and not paid taxes, they've gotten 20 years of grace. So this idea that all of a sudden the law becomes all squishy and situational, oh, well, they were here for 20 years illegally, we can't now enforce the law, that's not right. That's really applying situational ethics to the law. But back to the Communist Party USA. Why is the Communist Party USA pushing for millions of illegals to become legal residents? Because they want them to become voters. What happens if these folks become voters? Well, some of these conservative leaders will tell you, oh, they're hardwired to be conservative voters. That's not true. The studies do not support that claim whatsoever. In fact, the studies show that many of these illegal immigrants, not all of them, but a lot of them would vote for leftist ideas and would vote for social welfare programs, entitlements that would be expanded by the leftist. And the Communist Party USA knows this, which is why they're largely pushing for many of these millions of illegals to become residents and thus voters. So listen to what the Communist Party USA is up to. Here's an article from our website at worldviewweekend.com by Trevor Loudon. He's been writing for us now for a few years, and he has a article up there on our website. He reports from a paper entitled Special Convention Discussion, subtitled Mexican-American Equality, and it was discussed before the May 21st to 23rd Communist Party USA National Convention in New York. Okay, so the Communist Party USA is pushing for amnesty. That might be a red flag for some of you conservative leaders pushing for amnesty. Here's what the Communist Party USA said. The key is to broad united action, overcoming all obstacles that hold the movement back. What's the movement? The Communist Party. Getting a massive vote against the ultra-right in the primaries and in the midterm general election. Okay, so now we understand why the Communist Party USA is for amnesty. They want these folks to vote so they can do what? Overcome or vote against the ultra-right in the primaries and midterm and general election. They go on to say, open an era of progressive change. Okay, so they're going to use these voters, make illegals legal, and then make them voters so that they can open an era of progressive change. Progressive means socialist. Or, when what is the economic philosophy of Karl Marx? Socialism. Who was Karl Marx? He wrote the Communist Manifesto. Who is this? The Communist Party USA. They go on to say, we are confident that the democratic progressive or socialist majority can win the day. They go on to say, Mexican Americans are a necessary force in the struggle to break through the right-wing obstructionism. So again, the Communist Party USA wants all these illegals made legal citizens so they can vote, so they can swamp the right-wing, the religious extremists, the extreme right, all these pejoratives they use. So let me get back up. Mexican Americans are a necessary force in the struggle to break through the right-wing obstructionism and counteroffensive, and win progressive, I mean socialist, progressive changes in healthcare, jobs, and income. Yeah, income redistribution. That's what the Communist Party is for. immigration, civil rights, labor rights, and a more reasonable foreign policy in an ongoing electoral struggles and the coming election. Mexican Americans make up over 25% of the population in nearly 80 congressional districts. They are core constituencies for progressive Latino, African American, white, and Asian Pacific American representatives, and the key oppositional force to the right wing. Again, over and over, it's about the right wing. Mexican Americans are strong supporters of the Obama administration's effort to move away from the right wing policies of the past and to move for progressive reform. Again, it's all about progressive reform. The Communist Party has made historic contributions to the Mexican American people and to their struggles for social justice. Again, the phrase coined by Karl Marx. So here you have the Communist Party USA over and over again saying, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do in order to bring about our progressive socialist agenda. And who is helping push this idea? Conservative leaders, Christian leaders, pastors. Of course, they're the minority. There are a lot of pastors and a lot of Christian leaders, conservative Christian leaders, are saying this is crazy that they're doing this. But this is what is I believe, in my opinion, what happens when Christians don't think with reason, logic, and context. They don't put scripture into context and study scripture in context, apply scripture in context, and then when they think with more based on feelings and emotion. And then, as my friend Michael Reagan says, you might also consider trying following the money. Well, we don't have time to get into it, but then there's the 14th Amendment. And if you go into a study on the 14th Amendment, the 14th Amendment dealt with giving rights, citizenship to slaves and not people who were not, quote, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. They had to be subject to the jurisdiction of our country. People who are from another country, who come here and have babies, they are not subject to the jurisdiction of this country. They are really subject to another country. Therefore, legally, and I don't have time to get into it, but if you go and study the 14th Amendment and you study other court decisions and the people who helped write the 14th Amendment and draft the 14th Amendment, the two senators who are arguing this and debating this, you can find the original intent of the 14th Amendment, was not so that someone could come to America, have a baby, have an anchor baby, as it's called, and some don't like that term, but have an anchor baby, and then that baby becomes a citizen and therefore can get all the benefits thereof. The 14th Amendment was not meant to make someone who comes here and has a baby for that baby to become thus a citizen. You have to be a mother who is subject to the jurisdiction thereof, meaning of this country. So go do a study of the 14th Amendment. Don't let people take the Constitution out of context. Don't let them take the scriptures out of context. This is a biblical issue. You can apply biblical principles to this issue, but you have to know the Bible first, and you can't be letting people manipulate you by taking the Bible out of context. So, national sovereignty, borders, it is a biblical issue. We should be kind and gracious and loving, but we also have to defend the purpose of government, security, protection, and making a stable and just society, rewarding the righteous, punishing the wicked. And this whole illegal immigration issue has really created injustice in America. Well, that's what we do at Worldview Weekends. We apply a biblical worldview to all areas of life. If you want to watch this commentary again, you'll find it at our website, worldviewweekend.com, and click on the link for Worldview Tube. worldviewweekend.com, and then click on the link for Worldview Tube. We'll be right back after this break. We'll go to the auditorium of a recent Worldview Weekend for this week's keynote presentation. I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching.